Commissioner Auerbach, what a joy it is to see John and to have him in my journey. And I just have such respect for his leadership and his incredible perseverance and dedication. So, John, what a pleasure to see you, and thank you for that kind introduction. And it's a great honor to open this panel and be with such fantastic national leaders here, Dr. Troutman, Dr. Jarris, Ms. Beadle, my wonderful colleague from the Minority Health Office, Dr. Murray, and of course, Commissioner Auerbach. Thank you so much for coming to this very important session on health equity. And it's a theme that we are so committed to as public health professionals. And I thought it'd be most appropriate to start with a story. The best single story I think I've ever heard that underscores the spirit of equity and diversity and reaching your full potential. It's a story I first heard from Archbishop Desmond Tutu, that tremendous leader from South Africa. And the story from Archbishop Tutu is about the funny-looking chicken. You know that story, right? Once there was a farm in South Africa with a lot of chickens. The farming was good, and the owner of the farm was very happy with business, but he had this one funny-looking chicken. Didn't quite know what to do with it. It looked funny. It walked funny. It sort of stood out. And he was puzzling over this, and then one day another farmer drove up and asked him, "How's business?" And the first farmer said, "Well, it's going great. I got all these wonderful chickens that are thriving, but I got this one funny-looking chicken. It looks funny. It walks funny. I don't quite know what to do with it." And so the second farmer took one look and said, "I know what to do with that chicken. Give it to me." So he took that chicken into his truck, drove up to the highest mountain, waited for the sunrise, and when it did, he threw the bird up in the air and he yelled, "Fly, eagle, fly." And it spread its wings and it flew off into the sunrise. Doesn't that capture it all? The promise, reaching your full potential, being respected for your differences, and supporting the concept of diversity. That story has stayed in my mind as we do this very critical work on diversity, on reducing and ending disparities, and achieving true health equity. What I appreciate so much about everyone gathered here is that you truly want to support these issues. Many of you have been working at this for a lifetime or many lifetimes. We have had programs in our Department of Health and Human Services for many years, and you're going to be hearing about some here. But we now have a new opportunity through the Affordable Care Act to really upgrade these efforts, both through the general provisions and also through specific provisions. So that's what I'm going to be talking to you about just for the next 10 minutes or so. And we know that these challenges come before us with not easy solutions. The power to achieve true health equity lies beyond the control of any single authority. So it really requires special leadership from us, special capacity to bring non-traditional partners together to tackle these issues, really disseminate this theme of health in all policies, really reach out in a so-called social determinants approach, bring in many other sectors of society, as many sectors as possible, to help all people reach their full potential for health. These are issues that I have personally been thinking about for a lifetime, if I can say, because as a Korean American whose parents came to this country as newcomers, I thought from a very early age about what it was like to be different, what it was like to be from a different culture, to see my relatives adjust to this society. I saw the challenges of diversity as a clinician and as a physician who has cared for patients for over 30 years. I had the great pleasure of being the state health commissioner in Massachusetts, working closely with John Auerbach, who was then the public health leader in Boston, on a number of disparities and equities issues. Through those experiences, what touched me so much was the passion of people in communities who care so much about these issues and really want to make a difference, and how we really need people from all different backgrounds to tackle these issues moving forward. In fact, later on when I went to academia, before coming into federal public service as a researcher at Harvard, I wrote grants with community groups that were all oriented toward reducing disparities. It was very educational for me to see the power of community coalitions who often had many leaders around the table except for key members of either government or academia, and that's where many of us could join in and move a common effort forward. So now, as the Assistant Secretary for Health, it's my great pleasure to be at sessions like this to address issues of health equity from many vantage points. In less than a month, we will be unveiling the next version of Healthy People, so-called Healthy People 2020. We need the best 2020 vision for health for the next country, literally. And one of the four overarching goals of Healthy People 2020 is to achieve health equity, eliminate disparities, and improve health for all groups. And we know that the only way to do that is to have individuals and communities working together, and communities joining with other communities to make one nation healthier. Right now at the Department of Health and Human Services, there have been a number of efforts that have brought us to this point that are so related to disparities and health equity. For example, at the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, ARC, led by my wonderful colleague, Dr. Carolyn Clancy, a national healthcare disparities report has been released annually since 2003, and that's served as a call to action to improve healthcare access and quality among various racial ethnic groups. We have had at NIH a number of efforts for disparities reduction and achievement of health equity, much of it led by the previously known National Center on Minority Health and Health Disparities. At Health Resources Services Administration, led by my colleague, Dr. Mary Wakefield, there have been several health disparities collaboratives which have documented health outcomes for underserved populations. The CDC, led by Dr. Frieden, has a specific effort called the REACH program, Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health Across the U.S., led by Dr. Wayne Giles. And that program, as well as the National Breast and Cervical Cancer Early Detection Program, has had a tremendous impact in underserved communities. We have an Indian Health Service, led by my colleague, Dr. Yvette Rubidoux, and SAMHSA, led by my colleague, Pam Hyde, who, as their fundamental mission, serve underserved and try to reduce disparities. We have an Office of Minority Health, led by Dr. Garth Graham and Mirtha Beadle, who are here today, who have helped to develop a national plan for action. We're going to be hearing more about that from Mirtha in just a second. So these are all great efforts and signs of progress over recent years, and we're very proud of that. But now with the Affordable Care Act, I think we can upgrade these efforts by orders of magnitude in a number of ways. First, through the general provisions and the general goals of the Affordable Care Act, we are going to be expanding coverage and affordability to millions of Americans, particularly those from racially and ethnically diverse backgrounds. Those from racial and ethnic minority groups make up one-third of the nation's population, but more than half of the nation's uninsured. So this is a group that potentially could truly benefit from the added coverage that we're going to be seeing in upcoming years. You all know that in 2014, we have some major advances in expansion of Medicaid to 133% federal poverty level across the country. That's about $14,000 per individual and about $29,000 for a family of four. And so that's going to tackle a geographic disparity because Medicaid eligibility varies so widely across the country at the current time. You also know that 2014 is a big year in establishing exchanges across the country that will also offer new plans based on the private market to people and also subsidize premiums based on various income parameters. And we've seen already what an exchange can do in Massachusetts, as Commissioner Auerbach reported just a couple days ago, bringing down rates of uninsured in the state to the lowest across the country. We should all be particularly thrilled that there are new emphases on prevention and public health through the Affordable Care Act. So the act moves in so many ways to remove cost as a barrier for proven high-value preventive services. So for example, new plans established after September 23rd are being asked to cover so-called U.S. Preventive Services Task Force A and B recommendations, like smoking cessation and counseling, immunization, cancer screenings, certain cancer screenings. And these are all advances that are going to promote prevention, the power of prevention, and reduce disparities. So we're very, very pleased about that. And on the public insurance side, we are also seeing added emphasis on prevention through an annual wellness visit without cost sharing for those on Medicare, new incentives for those who are covered by Medicaid to eliminate cost sharing for states that have high rates of coverage of recommended preventive services, and hoping to improve federal matching funds for such states. That kicks in 2013 and beyond. So there are many general provisions here that can really make a difference for us moving forward. All of this will also impact quality. And you know that until now, much of the quality conversation has focused on the health care arena, particularly hospitals. We are eager to move that conversation broadly into population health, into public health quality. And my colleague Peggy Honore is doing much education at this meeting to talk about a public health quality forum that APHA has helped to partner and promote. And we're very grateful to our colleagues there. So those are some general ways that the Affordable Care Act can help achieve health equity. And then in terms of specifics, we also know that we have prevention funding that is new, that can address health inequities, that will also target efforts at the community level through community transformation grants. Again, we're having individuals and communities work together. And of course, a new National Prevention Council that is headed by the Surgeon General, Regina Benjamin. There are also specific provisions that we should just share with this very learned group. There are efforts to increase racial and ethnic diversity in healthcare professions. Lots of funding going through HRSA for both community health centers and also for the primary care workforce. Demonstration projects to address health professional workforce needs. Efforts in collaboration with historically black universities and minority-serving institutions. Helping with loan repayments for persons from disadvantaged backgrounds so that people can go into the primary health professions. And we are very, very excited about the expansion of community health centers, which promises to double the number of people served in those centers from the current 19 million to double that in the next 5 years. Through all disparities work, we always have data challenges. I often like to tease that when I was looking for data in Asian American health issues a generation ago, when I was particularly interested in looking into research in that area, the response always was tialad. There is a lack of data, tialad. And so the Affordable Care Act now has specific provisions to put tialad to rest, to help improve data collection and reporting procedures, and require that population surveys collect data on race, ethnicity, and primary language, among other parameters. And so we are really eager to get that process started and bring more information forward so that our communities can use that data to drive action moving forward. These are just some of the many, many very exciting efforts that can move us forward in the next year, and the year after that, and the year after that. And we really need to make a 2020 vision of healthy people come true, that we can achieve true health equity for all people. I am convinced with your dedication, with the leadership of my colleagues on this panel, we can reach that goal and exemplify the spirit of that eagle that the Archbishop was talking about in the story I just conveyed to you. And I want to close with a wonderful quote from former President John F. Kennedy, one of my favorite quotes about diversity, and I believe about equity and what brings us all together. Quote, "If we cannot end now our differences, at least we can help make the world safe for diversity. For in the final analysis, our most basic link is that we all inhabit this small planet. We all breathe the same air. We all cherish our children's future. And we are all mortal." Thank you very much for your commitment to health equity. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Koh. We're so lucky to have you in this position. I think it's safe to say there's never been this level of senior official in government who has been this committed to and this effective in dealing with not only the issue of health equity, but also on public health and its importance. So thank you, Dr. Koh. Just you're the best person we could have in this position. We really appreciate your leadership.